and welcome to the Gamerland Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Worsham. This is episode 533. With me, as always, is the one, the only. It has been said that he translated the word mute to mean amazing. The KevinMiller.com. That may or may not pay off later. Jump and press the circle button, Kevin.
Define Weehoot.
We will later, I think.
Oh, wow. This is the first time you've ever laid something down.
Like a tease?
Yeah.
Like a...
That I don't know about. Usually I lay things out that surprise you. It doesn't go the other way around.
Well, we got a...
We're reversing roles.
We got a tweet or a Facebook message or something that somebody said, hey, what the hell happened to the formats? So it'll come up later on. And we went back. We're going back to the format, so it'll come on later on.
And we wee-ooted.
We wee-oot, is what. I shouldn't have ruined it. Damn it!
I see what you did there.
Damn it!
Let's go to the entertainment center.
Entertainment center. I built this in IKEA.
Segments are back.
90% more segments.
So, my wife gave me a delayed Father's Day present.
Yeah.
I mentioned this on our Gamerland podcast. Do you know what? Oh, yeah, you know what it is.
Yeah.
It was like, you reacted like it was sexual. You're like, yeah.
Wait, then maybe I don't know what it is.
It was Disneyland.
I was hoping, I'm like, I can't wait to see him connect these dots in this show. This is going to be interesting.
I just skipped right over those. Stay within the lines. No way. So Justin knew because she was trying to work out babysitting with you. It would have been great if you guys could have joined us. I think that would have been a little more entertaining.
Are you talking about your trip to Disneyland?
To Disneyland. Okay. Yeah.
That was never part of her plan for us to babysit.
It was for you guys to come.
Yes.
Oh, good,
she said,
good.
Yeah, I know he loves Disney and he loves the Worshams, so we want to get the Worshams involved. And
yeah.
I couldn't do
That's
it.
Sweet.
I couldn't do it that day.
You'd had enough.
No, I think we had already
enough Millers.
No, yes.
There was too much. We came over for dinner.
Oh, I'm so glad you said it.
We'll cut this short.
Yeah. Okay, bye. Listen, Kevin. First of all, don't ask.
The mics are still on.
Yeah, don't ask why I'm still recording.
Woo!
No, I think we had already. It was two things. We'd already had plans that day, but then also Natalie wouldn't get off until like 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
I had thrown out there that if she wanted to leave Quinn with us, could. And then, but I thought it was, I think part of her plan was that she wanted it to be a family thing.
It would have, it was nice. I mean, we only were able to go on a handful of rides because he's tiny and he's at the next to worst age to take to Disneyland because it doesn't entertain him at all.
Yeah.
Like even when they're two, one and a half, in like 6 more months, that will at least be interesting enough to do stuff. But right now he just, It's
a cardboard box with a speaker in it would probably blow his mind more than Disneyland.
We have a laminator now at work. I bring him home the scraps, half an hour on that. Disneyland? Nah.
I wanna go home. If he could talk.
That's how he feels.
Yeah.
So we're just trying to find things to do that are infant friendly. And one is the it used to be called the Carousel of Progress, and it's now called the Imaginatorium. What the heck is it called? It's in Tomorrowland.
That big spinning thing it always makes you look like I know that they just have Osimo there.
Yeah.
You know why I don't go there? Because it called me obese.
Who did? Oh, yeah. They have all those things.
Yeah, they have a BMI in there that it's like, they called me obese, and you know what made me angrier?
Wow, that's
that when they called me obese, it made me, I went and bought a churro. they got me.
That's fascinating that they're so insulting.
I was shocked. I mean, all of that is joking, but in all honesty, I'm like, really? Do I?
Yeah.
What happened to the happiest place on earth where I get reminded?
And it tells you on the way in. It says, from here you leave the world of today, and you step into the world of yesterday, tomorrow, and fantasy.
Oh.
And that's what it says over the plaque as you walk inside.
So in my fantasies, I get to be obese,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. They
well
keep it
done.
Real. It's the Imagitarium. They're
well
imagining
done.
Real life because you're in a world of fantasy.
I broke my brain. My mind is not clear.
So in there, they have an Iron Man exhibit because finally they're starting to show that they own Marvel.
Yeah.
at Disneyland. And so that's what we went in there to do, was play. And you get to, you stand in front of essentially a Kinect, and you get to dress up as Iron Man and fly around. It's pretty great.
The way you started to act that out, like, I really I wanted you to undersell the fact they have things that shoot on you and you get to wear the outfit.
Yeah, that's cool.
Other than that, it's cool. But that Osmo thing.
I mean, he's a walking robot.
He's going to be our pet.
Built by Honda. So right next to that was Disney Infinity. And if you've been listening to the show for any length of time, you know that Disney Infinity has come up a couple of times because I'm a huge Skylander fan.
Yep.
And I own all of the current two series that are out, Spyro and Giants. I own them all. And every time Disney Infinity came up, I was like, and I put this on our Gamerland Facebook wall, I was unimpressed because from what I know, because I think it's pretty obvious, they had two different game modes that they came in with. There was this sort of Minecraft thing and then a regular story mode. And that's clear. And then Skylanders became huge and they added this extra level of a merchandise on top of it. Like, instead of just being able to play as all these characters, they're like, well, we'll just attach the characters to merchandise to be able to sell straight out. And so I was never at all interested in collecting, you know, watered down, sketchy versions of Disney characters because it's not as much fun to me. So until I went over to the day before the stupid game is released, I have been going months and months since they announced Disney Infinity, not interested in this game at all. The day before it's released, I go there and I spend, my wife and I have still been debating how much time. I said 12 minutes. She said 30.
That's funny.
So somewhere around the 20-minute mark, I'll guess that I spent playing Disney Infinity and discovered that I didn't know why I didn't know this, but it's made by Avalanche, which is the studio that made the Toy Story 3 game after Toy Story 3 came out. Now, the beauty of that game is they had two gameplay modes, one that was like 7 or 8 levels that kind of told the story of Toy Story 3, you know, scenes from the movie, play acted, typical franchise movie-to-game stuff. And it wasn't super great. But then the other side of it, they had what they called the Toy Box mode, which was sort of this story-driven sandbox thing that made Toy Story an RPG. And so you go around...
Oh, because the characters work just like Skylanders. You upgrade them and...
Except for it's within... The characters didn't upgrade, but the universe, this like sandbox toy box world did. So you show up and you're the sheriff in town in Toy Story 3, and you're either Woody, Buzz, or Jesse. And you can choose. There's no penalty for switching between them whenever you want. And you go around and the characters from Toy Story are there in the world, and it's as if you're in... Andy's imagination is kind of how they sell it. Like, you're in this Wild West, for everything looks like it does whenever Andy's imagining things, but they move like toys do, and all the characters are toys, and the buildings look like play sets, and the puzzles are like play sets, and you can buy a goof machine that makes things tall and small and all this great stuff. And it's this, I mean, I played it for days and days and days, to the point where Kat, my wife, was like, this is like a never ending game because it's sort of like Skyrim meets Toy Story was what this toy box game is. It's a lot of fun.
And that's just one element of the,
that's the good half of Toy Story 3. I played the hell out of the game. I just destroyed that game from beginning to end. I mean, there's a short list of games that I beat, and that game captured my attention, and it was fun in the universe, and it's beautiful to look at. And if you like Toy Story, it's a really great off-the-page kind of further exploration of the characters, and all your favorite Toy Story kids are there. It's as if you're playing in Andy's room. So we're there at stupid Disneyland, and they've got the Pirates playset hooked up to one of, they have several different Xboxes there. If you've ever been there, you always have some game playing. And this, all the sets are all Disney Infinity, and they had just turned it on because we walked in right at 10 o'clock, and the game was just starting with the beginning of the Pirates toy set. And I'm playing around, wandering around, oh, this is kind of trying to figure out the controls, and then run up around a corner, and in Toy Story 3, you don't collect like prize baubles or coins. You collect quarter machine vending baubles. You know, those like plastic things with rings or super balls or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
You run into them and then they...
That you'd find on the exit of a grocery store.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so when you touch them, they like uncork. They go... and then the thing kind of sparkles out, and then you beat a mission, and like confetti flies. And so I'm playing it, and I turn a corner and poof, hit one of those toy baubles, and it all clicks in my head of like, oh, no. I didn't do my research. This is just that game. Instead of just Toy Story universe, it's all these universes. And so I then we're in line for stuff at Disneyland. We're wandering on Disneyland. I'm on Amazon looking up and Wikipedia, learning all the differences between the players and the sets. And so the fascinating thing is it comes with three toy boxes, which is Monsters University, Pirates of the Caribbean, and The Incredibles. And then there are two others that were released at the same time as launch, Lone Ranger and Cars. And they each come with two characters there. So the thing that's great about it is that I always thought was limiting, unlike Skylanders, where you play the game and you just switch the character at random. When you're in these toy box modes, you can't switch the character to another franchise. You can keep if you're in Cars and you have Lightning McQueen, you can take him off and put Mater on, and he'll show up in the game. But if you take Mater off and put Jack Skellington on, it won't work.
So you can only play with the character within
the toy box. So not knowing that it was Toy Story 3, I thought, well, that's lame. Why did they do that? And then I realized what kind of game it is, and then it sold me on it. Because like in Toy Story 3, it didn't matter if you were Woody, Buzz, or Jesse. You had the same abilities, and the same is true within this. There are virtually, and there's some kid that's playing it right now that's about to call me a liar, there are very little differences between characters when you play them. It's mostly which character you like to play with. So on release day, on Sunday, after working a 12-hour day at my day job at the church, I come home and Kat tells me that I should go to the store and buy Disney Infinity. So I ran out and bought, on launch day, bought the starter kit and Cars.
Here's how I imagine this
and
going.
Lone Ranger.
Hey, honey, how was your day? I was good. How was your day at work? It was good. Hey, I think you should go
get some chili.
The door just is swinging in the air. I didn't even finish it. I knew what you meant. I love you. Thank you.
We're all the same. Son, you are never going to go to college. Goo-goo-ga-ga.
Or at least not on your dime.
Goo-goo-ga-ga.
Make him pay for it. It's better anyway.
Did you start the clock?
I did.
How much time do we have?
How much time do we have left?
Yeah. Oh, there's the clock. Great.
Yeah.
Have we only talked for 7 minutes?
No, we're about 5 minutes on top of that. It was five minutes in before I hit go.
Before you hit go. Yeah. Got it.
Yeah.
Because I have so much to say about that, but we could go to the sandbox to talk more about
talk
it.
More
or
about
I can
that.
Give you more a review of Disney Infinity. Which segment does this belong in?
Let's see. I would say that's sandbox, but we could keep talking about it. You're playing it. Why not?
Yeah, let's go into the sandbox.
You want to go into the sandbox? Is that cat poop?
It's not a Tootsie Roll.
You're fine. You're not pregnant.
The sandbox. We said we'd never do segments. We said, I never told you the thing I wanted to do with our show.
Tune in next week
to find
for
out
Kevin's ideas
how our show will be improved.
But enjoy this mediocre one. We have improvements to come later, as do all improvements.
Yeah, it'll be like a patch. Yeah. You'll download it next week.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, speaking of Disney Infinity and patches, if you read any reviews, all they do is talk about how ridiculously clunky the game is, which was not my experience at all. I have yet to have a problem with it.
Yeah, I have a lot of questions since we're doing this in the sandbox now.
Yeah,
hit me. So the way you described it is that you can't play these worlds unless you have
toy boxes.
Whatever.
Toy boxes.
You can't play these toy boxes unless you have unless you have the characters.
Yes, but they all come with the character that goes with that toy box. One character.
So you're buying a new game?
Yes, you got it. Oh. So here's what
but when you buy the $10 character, you're buying a new game.
No.
Oh my gosh.
So when you buy the starter pack, you get three characters and three matching toy boxes. So you get
Incredibles, you get Monsters Inc., and you get Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah. So you get Jack Sparrow.
Mr. Incredible.
Mr. Incredible and Sully for each of those three universes. And it's Monsters University, not Monsters, Inc. Monsters University is the one I haven't played yet because I didn't see the movie and I don't want it to ruin it. Huh. So don't ask me any questions about it. Although I got your son to give me a review of the movie. He says something about a line and he wasn't supposed to cross it and he did and it was scary. Can't wait to find out what that means.
I'm glad you said that because I actually was kicking around the idea of taking him to go see family movies and then letting him review them on my dad podcast.
Oh, I would love that. Please do. It took a little work to get it out of him, but he eventually started to tell me elements of the story and stuff, and yeah, I think he could do it. He would do a good job.
I'm wondering if it would be entertaining just to hear him, even if it gets nonsense. I think he'll laugh.
I know nothing, and having seen it, I'm sure it would have been funny because you'd know what it was like watching the girl talk about Star Wars. Having not seen it, it builds this crazy anticipation to be like, what was he talking about?
I've seen it with him.
And you don't know.
I don't really know what he's talking. I have an idea, but it would ruin the movie.
Can't wait. All right. That's what I thought. So then if you buy the Cars play set, you get Lightning McQueen and Holly Shiftwell.
Oh, who wants that?
Exactly. And the Cars toy box. You buy Lone Ranger, you get the Lone Ranger.
Now, can we talk dollars and cents?
We're getting there. All right. You get the Lone Ranger and Tonto and the Lone Ranger.
That's in there too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Those are two different toy
boxes. I know,
boxes.
But I can't believe that they already have the Lone Ranger.
Yeah.
Like, it's a classic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It came out 2 months ago.
Well, see, to your earlier point, that's what they're doing. They've essentially built a game now that they don't have to build any more games.
Yeah.
Disney Infinity. Like, because it's got later releases include
Frozen.
Oh, that's
why it's called Infinity, that this is all of our games now.
This is how they will all be. Yeah. And they've got, it's clear,
until
like.
Until somebody comes up with a new Skylanders.
Exactly. This is Series 1, there's stuff that's happening. Like, they'll do the same rollout as Skylanders, I imagine, because all the information's on the disc. I wondered whether or not they, like, when you buy the toy boxes, if it ports the information into the game. It doesn't. That could change. I don't know how robust the port is. It's a much more durable station than the portal is on Skylanders. It has three different ports, two for characters, one for the toy box, and then they have the ability to have two things stacked on top of it. So where Skylanders can only handle three things in the current generation, I think the next one will be able to handle four. This thing can have six different items on it at one time and be able to read them.
Yeah, I saw, because I was looking at it online, one of the preschool director at Jacob's preschool bought it, but she buys these things because she thinks they're going to be huge, and then she sells them on eBay.
Like, she was wrong. Because
she has her thumb on the finger of the pulse of preschoolers, and so she picks up,
she's
like,
mistaken.
She buys collector's editions of, like, The Dark Knight and stuff like that.
That might, if there is some collector's edition to Disney Infinity, she would be fine. If she can get her hands on Mickey the Sorcerer, which came at D23.
No, she had a starter pack, and then I think she had like a Mater. And
that, you can find that stuff everywhere. The Disney, unlike Skylanders, has done a full-blown release with launch. Like, unlike Activision, where you have to, it's like playing Pokemon, you got to go catch them all, driving from store to store. You can't, if you go to a store with Disney Infinity, they've got every unit. Like, they have done a really good job of stocking the shelves with everything. Nothing is hard to find.
Tell me if I'm messing up your flow here with these questions, but so, like, each of the toy boxes, are they essentially, are we talking like an RPG here, where it's essentially the same game but with a different skin?
They are variations. So that's the thing that I'm super impressed with. Again, it's all on the disc from what I can tell. There are five toy boxes. They're out right now. There's at least a sixth. There might be a seventh. I'm not sure. Toy Story in Space is coming, where you can play as the Toy Story characters in Buzz Lightyear's universe, as opposed to the previous one, where all the Toy Story characters were in Woody's universe.
I wonder, because they're talking. I heard rumors on the internet that Tom Hanks and Tim Allen signed to do a Toy Story 4.
Oh, that would be surprising.
Yeah,
that'd be great. And I think that there's a Wreck-It Ralph coming as well. I know the characters are coming. I think their playset is coming. I think they have a toy box in the works as well, but I'm not sure. But like I said, it would be on the disc. Like, if we could crack the disc, we'd be able to see it. I don't know if they have
it's
the
already built into the disc that comes.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. Just like Skylanders. So when you
play, you don't get a new disc when you buy the new characters.
You buy a little thing.
It's like having a little cheat code that unlocks that
exactly.
world.
Exactly. That's the brilliant part about this whole system is that they just put a bunch of stuff on there, and then you need to buy these things in order to unlock it. I have a feeling that that's not true. I have a feeling when I put down Toy Story in space come October or November, I think it's going to download
and
stuff
it, as
the first
a patch.
Time. That, I think
like
so.
Like updates. To go back where you're saying the six things is that it had the thing I saw, as opposed to just being a solid portal, they're destined. Like, they're spots that they have destinies.
They do. So this is
and
the
that
thing
there were
that
cards
is,
that would go underneath it look like.
It is unbelievable the amount of content that this game has. Like, you know, pound for pound, what you're spending your money on is ridiculous. Because the game itself, just the starter pack, if you're okay with the three characters, to spend $75 on a game, you get these three characters and the portal. And then if you don't have the bug that says, I must buy all the characters, you get an enormous game there alone, because while you have this whole RPG side of it, that you have complete access to the whole story in each of the toy boxes, you don't get some of the like collectible junk that's here and there through it. But then you have this whole other side of the game that is being called the Duplos of Minecraft. Like if Minecraft is Legos for video games, Disney Infinity is Duplos, and you build your own universe
toy box
using everything. So whereas in the Toy Box playsets, you can only be Mr. Incredible in the Incredibles universe, this, you can have any character fight any other character, or build, have them all be in Fantasyland, and they have there's some statistic of like 1,500 different items that you can unlock within this this free roaming world, and it's across the board from franchises that aren't even touched in the rest of it. Aladdin, Disneyland, Icons, Epcot Center, like the Haunted Mansion is there, and then Scrooge McDuck's money bin is one that's on the box. So there's all these. Like, from several different generations of stuff all across the board, all packed into this game. And it's a pretty simple system. I think Jacob wouldn't be able to do it. Like, your five-year-old son would not be able to create a game and feel good about it. Like, it gets a little complicated. There it takes some pretty sophisticated understanding of 3D building and 3D modeling.
I don't know if I'm messing up the flow again, but I never like that aspect of games.
And I don't either. Not as an adult. As a kid, I would have spent 100 hours playing it, just like I did with something like Spore or
SimCity. I guess you could upload it and then your friends can play
exactly.
it. Exactly. Like, because that's what I feel like. That's the only thing that's fun, is that you can make a level and then your friends can play it.
And that's pretty cool. And it, you know, I've
eaten my words, is what
I turned it on. Yeah. Haha. I turned it on just to see how it was, and then I ended up, like, it tells you how long you worked on a level, and I went to hit save. It's like an hour and a half. I was like, oh, I guess this isn't terrible. And I make stuff, and my wife would walk by and be like, oh, that's really pretty. And you can put Cinderella's castle in the thing and then change the lighting and make it look like the Buena Vista opening credits for films and stuff.
Cool.
There's a bunch of different unlock. Like, you can change the sky into Tangled and that kind of thing, and put the frogs from Princess and the Frog. And you know, the Akrabog dudes from Aladdin. So that if you're a little older, like you're like 7 or 8, that could be really engaging to be able to build your own universe. But for me, the only reason I purchased it was for this, for the ability to play this Toy Story 3 Part 2 video game, and it delivers in a great way. Like I bought the other two toy boxes, Cars and Lone Ranger, and it's like I have five brand new video games, and they all, to your earlier question, do kind of feel the same, because it is go around, do an adventure, but that's my kind of game. That's Skyrim, Guild Wars, you know, open world, choose your own thing, or just run around.
Yeah,
I
don't have a problem with it. It's sometimes I feel like it's cheating when I feel like I could see behind the curtain, if that makes sense, where it takes me out of it, where it's like, wait a minute, like, what's the,
no.
In, like, God of War, as much as I enjoy the game, like, there are moments when I go, okay, this is the same program bad guy, just, now, there's a difference in the programming, because it grabs a different skin, because I'm in a different level.
It does not do that.
I don't like that kind of
stuff.
No,
these are like, probably a better way, if Toy Story 3, the video game, was the first game, this is like they made five sequels simultaneously because they're all the same kind of general idea, but then they operate different. So when you're playing pirates, most of the game takes place on your pirate ship, and it has its own pirate ship game functionality. When you're in the open and seas, the waves rock the boat and you come back and forth, and then you see other pirates, and it has its own way of playing the game to operate your two sides of cannons. The crew members are shouting out where ships are. You have to figure out how to sink them. That's not in The Incredibles. When you go over The Incredibles, you play as one of your different Incredible guys, and you need to level up Dash to get him to get his speed power, and then you need to control it and go around the town and collect certain bad guys and capture them.
What do you do with Syndrome? Or you don't know yet.
Well, see, that's the weird thing about it. So bookmark that as well. then you go over to Cars, and it's a little tough to kind of navigate around the town because it's hard to turn corners, but then it has one of the best racing games I've played in a long time. You'd love it, like to play the Cars part of it, of zooming.
I bet.
Around.
I believe.
Yeah.
It.
Yeah, you go and you do all these matches, and you play as Mater, you play as whatever character you have. So, what was your question just then? Syndrome. So this
Syndrome,
is the weird thing about it, and where you can see that they clearly. Like the game, one of the CEOs has said time and time again, no, we've had this game in development long before Skylanders was popular. That, I believe, is true because you can tell that.
Popular.
Yes, or even around, because Skylanders wasn't released until last year, about this time 2 years ago. So 2011, right? Mm-hmm. So, and Toy Story 3 came out in what year? So the game came out at the same time as Toy Story 3. They were probably very clear that, or they had the idea of taking that same game mechanic and building toy boxes for other games. While that was in development, no doubt Minecraft became huge, and they're like, oh, we could use this same tool and build a UI so that other players can put their own thing in it. While they were developing that, I think Skylanders blew up, and they said, okay, let's include that into this game as well.
I see. So the figurines.
Yeah.
Was only added after Skylanders.
Exactly.
I get you now.
Because in the toy box.
Because from the selling point, that's interesting. Because from the selling point, that's what it seems like they're doing.
Yeah.
But when you play the game, you're saying, like, no.
Because you peel back the curtain and saw the problem that they have before even playing the game. That in the toy box mode, not in the Minecraft version, build your own, it doesn't matter what character. Like, you can choose any character. It really doesn't matter what character you play as.
Yeah, because how are you going to do races as Mr. Incredible?
Exactly. So you can build, Mr. Incredible can get in his car and race and do the same thing there. So you could build a racetrack and race as Mr. Incredible against Mater. And you could build your own world to do that. But when you're playing the actual toy box element of the game, and you can drop in the villain, so Davy Jones in the Pirates, you put him down, and he looks great. He's a little octopus guy, and he's got his little club foot, and all that stuff is cool. But the story does not change. And this is where I was like, oh, this, so frustrating. Because the very first thing
Come
you
on,
do,
guys.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. There it's where it's just you tried to add this other element into the game, and it's irrelevant because the whole point in the Pirates one is Davy Jones is going to get this map before us. We have to do this thing to stop Davy Jones from taking over the ocean. That's like,
so you're playing as Davy Jones and they're saying we have to stop Davy Jones.
Exactly.
And meanwhile, he's like, these idiots.
Yeah, I'm right here. Same thing with Syndrome in the Incredibles ones. He's like, oh, Syndrome is planning to destroy the city. We must get the people together, and you can play as Syndrome.
But in their defense, like, that's what they're doing is all of the, in my opinion, tell me if I'm wrong, but all of the billboards and everything is like, look at our figurines.
Yeah,
we have everybody. And it's like, they're like winking and out of the side of their face saying, Disney made Skylanders, everybody.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, no, they're not
but
trying
it's
to.
Completely irrelevant as far as the game goes.
And no doubt that kids will love it. And there are elements to, like, if you have, I don't have Mrs. Incredible, I don't have Elastigirl. I seen her gameplay in the game. I'm like, well, she looks kind of fun to be able to stretch. But the fighting is the same. She does the exact same thing.
But you Dash, just see different animations.
Exactly. Dash runs at the thing, which is cool. Mr. Incredible smashes the ground, and it sends a shockwave at the people. Elastigirl stretches her arm out and punches them. So mild variations, but still the same game. It's clever, and I love it. But I'm thankful that I don't see it and didn't unlike Skylanders, like I bought the game and immediately wanted every single one of them. I play this, I'm like, I would like to play the other characters. Like, I wouldn't mind if I had the villains and some of the sidekicks just to vary it up. But the interesting part is the toy boxes. That's where I will drop my money. Are you ready to find out how much money they are?
I have a question about toys for Bob. Will you tell me if it would be better to go now, or you want to close with the money? Is that what you're saying?
No, yeah, ask your question.
So, because that's
I can answer the money, whatever. It's
my
pre-production. Pre-production meeting.
An element of spontaneity in the show.
we're live to tape here.
Here's my thing that I feel when I first saw this, I felt bad for the guys at Toys for Bob, because if I'm Bob and I'm making my toys for me and all of
we're
a sudden,
not making Swap Force, by the way. That's not Toys for Bob.
What?
They
Swap Force is making Disney Infinity?
No. Swap Force is the next Skylanders, and it's being developed by
somebody else.
Vicarious Media.
Okay.
And they made all the mobile apps for the previous Skylander games and all the portable games.
But my point is like they've landed on something that now, for the first time in a long time, I feel, tell me if I'm wrong, that there are T-shirts for children for a video game. Not an animated series that also is a video game. Not a movie that is a pure video game. Is selling lunch boxes, underwear, T-shirts, socks,
since
everything.
And this is what I wanted to discuss here in the sandbox. The only other exception is Angry Birds.
Yes,
to that.
That's true.
And Angry Birds
is not a video game. It's a mobile game.
It's a mobile game, but it had the same.
Same effect.
Yeah, lightning catalyzing thing.
So here's my point. They come up with this way to revolutionize, in my opinion, marketing and
they frontiered a brand new
economics of gaming.
Yeah, a whole new way of gameplay, a whole new game mechanic.
The idea of making money in games.
The idea of switching out, like, you have to, it's so funny because it's one of those ideas like cell phones or any technology that makes total sense now because it's so integrated into it. But you dial it back 4 years, and the idea of switching your character out in a game by taking him off the thing and putting another one on, untested ground.
Yeah.
I mean, there were some card games that were doing it, some really cheap things, but those were like more battle games and they were more about collectible cards. But the idea of going, no, we're going to sell toys in a store and then the kids are going to put that on a thing and they'll want to do it. When I saw it in the store, I scoffed at it. I was like, that looks like a waste of time until I played it and saw the game. I was like, oh, no, this is incredible.
So when you find out, you're Bob and you find out Disney is making this, I feel like I'm sitting in my office going, fudge.
They somebody asked them that at the last E3 when Disney announced Disney Infinity and had the guts to say, what do you think of Disney releasing Disney Infinity? And a guy from Activision very calmly and very direct said, well, you know, we kind of see it as a non-issue. I mean, they
bring it, mofo.
Yeah. They said, you know, this has been they even called it out for what it was. They said, this has been an extremely successful, very popular thing. We would expect that someone else would see this. And try to move into the same market.
I like that.
Like, just...
That's like my Gossip Girl. Or you know what I mean? Whatever show people are getting into. Like, when that kind of stuff happens, like,
yeah.
I like to see business tycoons fighting over... Especially, like to me, this is a prime example of why terrorists should hate us. Is that it's like, we're getting catty about figurine
toys. About a billion
dollars. Yeah.
It was funny, because the guy, it's a British dude, has a podcast. I think it's called Gamer Dad. And so, I don't know how much British news media you've interacted with, but their level of acceptable questions is a few shades of uncomfortable to an American. Like, they will press into things that we would consider a taboo or uncool question. And this was definitely in that arena, and he was just being himself, because it's a legitimate question. But I think you and I wouldn't have asked that question, like, what do you think of Disney Infinity? And he just straight up said, what are your reactions to Disney Infinity? How do you feel about them releasing this?
That's awesome.
And it took the guy a little by surprise, because it was all fun and they're like, yeah, we have this new game. And it's so, wait, what did you ask? Hold on. But the thing is, and the Disney CEOs have said the same thing, that it really is a different game.
Yeah.
And a lot of reviewers have come back to say, how did you make this mistake? That's what they keep calling it. How do you, like, the brilliance of Skylanders is that in order to play the game, you need the other characters. Like, and then you get to swap them out, and it matters based on their abilities, based on their elemental power, and their in the
each,
zone.
That's one of the things that's the most impressive as I played the game. We still haven't beat Chaos, but that, like, that to go back to it, like how you were describing each of the attacks.
Yeah,
it's just a variation of the same attack based on what that character
is. And that's stretching it.
The Skylanders don't have that.
No, they're completely different. Yeah. Everything in Skylanders.
Every single one of those Skylanders has its own attack, its own thing, and
you have a lob, you have a throw, you have a missile, you have a direct, you have an area of effect. Yeah, and so that was genius, and that's why it's clear that they had been developing this, and they added this other thing on top of it. When I play Skylanders, the portal sits inches from me because I'm constantly swapping out, constantly moving characters around. I can play Disney Infinity and never touch the base.
Yeah, it's an irrelevant piece of hardware.
And then every now and then if I want to switch toy boxes. But for me, I can play one toy box for a half hour. Like, that's a pretty good gaming session. Never touch it. Plug it in. It's now, most of the time, it sits behind the TV, so my 11-month-old son doesn't
try to
reach
up. Is the toy box like a secondary disc that goes on the platform or something?
It's a clear plastic thing that when an LED light inside the power pad or whatever it is shines, it like makes it illuminate. So Quinn, my 11-month-old son, loves to take the figures and smash it on the power pad. First time, I was like, yeah, you can see it. You can look at it. And he saw it blinking, and he saw the thing, and then smashed it like a hammer. I was like, oh, no, we can't do that. This is very expensive. Very expensive little toy. Why did you even think to do that? It's like you knew that was delicate.
No, he's a little cave person right now.
Must smash light, fire everything. In there.
Everything.
So, bottom line. Get it. It's a great game. I can't wait for Toy Story in Space. I really hope that Wreck-It Ralph has its own playset. I will collect all the playsets because I love this type of game. There's a couple other characters that I think are fun that I would have, but it's tough. I would probably only get them if they have a playset to go with them. So like Jack Skellington, Mickey Mouse, when his Fantasia Sorcerer comes out in 2014, they don't have a playset. Yeah. There's no story mode for them. So unless they plan to develop some more open-ended story modes or do like a Disneyland playset, and maybe that'll be number two. I'll be all game for it. I'm hoping that there will be Disney Infinity Star Wars, Disney Infinity Marvel. And they even mentioned, the developer said, yes, we would love to be able to tackle that kind of stuff. And then you'd have, you know, Jack Sparrow and Jack Skellington hanging out with Obi-Wan Kenobi, and yeah, you can see it unraveling from there. Two very important points: the price tag and Angry Birds.
So you've built this. You've built all this up. We've built a sandcastle in the sandbox. Yeah. Let's kick it over with the prize.
The toy box. The starter pack. $75. Like I said.
So that's the game and the figures and
three
the,
figures,
and the
three
portal
games,
thing,
and one little power square or something that's called. The individual characters are $13,
as opposed to a $9.99 Skylander. $12.99 for a giant,
or $12.99 for light core. Yeah, so they start more expensive. To get a three pack, it's $25, which is the higher end of a three pack of Skylanders. The toy boxes, so two characters and a game, $35. $35.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's not as expensive as another game, most other games, but it is as expensive as a game in that genre. Like, Sly Cooper came out at $39.99. That was initial retail price. Mm-hmm. So to play Cars, the toy box, after already purchasing another game, another $35.
How many hours before you think you finish the story?
I have not finished one toy box yet, and I have played them all for several hours, or an hour or so every night.
Like, you've at least killed 8 hours into one toy box and not finished?
No, I have killed 8 hours in all the toy boxes dispersed.
That you have?
Yeah.
So how many do you have?
I have all five.
You have all five toy boxes?
And I have not beat one yet.
So you've killed 8 hours, so you're about 1 to 2 hours into each?
Yeah, around there.
Yeah.
I looked at
my
the pirates.
My math says that about 4 hours.
That's what I wondered.
Is what
I was
each
concerned.
Toy box would be.
Because again, Toy Story 3. I can't even tell. I'll have
but
to look it up.
But if you think about it, that's only $10 an hour, really.
No, it's a good deal.
Yeah.
In terms of what you spend to go to a movie, I'm not complaining. Where you would be a sinkhole is if you bought the other characters. But the...
Because you could play the game. So I see what you're saying. So You're essentially buying a mini game or an expansion pack for $35,
exactly.
And you get a couple figures so that you can interact with the hardware. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. And play two players, because you can play up to two.
Okay.
So I couldn't
play
two players.
But you get two with every toy box, right?
If you buy the starter pack, I don't have two people for pirates. I'd need to buy another pirate character.
Oh, I see. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But if you buy a toy box, it comes with two characters for that toy box automatically.
Automatically.
So then the only way that to me seems smart. I can't argue
it's a good
with
deal.
That it's like, they're saying you don't have to, but if you want to see the world, you can experience everything for $35.
Yeah.
But we're also going to hold Mater over here as a carrot on a stick.
Yeah.
If you want, you're going to have to pay another $13.
It was pretty tempting. I've been in the store several times, and like I said, they're everywhere. So they have the side pack or sidekicks triple pack where you get Mike Krzyzewski, you get what's his bucket from Pirates, the other pirate.
Orlando Bloom's guy, huh?
No, the other guy. The bad pirate from the first movie that's in all three.
Oh,
Barbossa.
Barbossa, yeah.
And Randall from Monsters, Inc. and such.
No, he's the villain. It would be Mike.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. What's his?
It's Mike Wazowski. You said him first.
Yeah, and then I'm terrible at
and
this.
You said Barbossa for Pirates of the Caribbean. So the sidekick for The Incredibles with the starter pack?
Yeah, is...
it's got to be Mrs. Incredible.
Is it
or
Mrs. Incredible?
Dash?
No, it's Mrs. Incredible.
Or Mr. Ozone? Frozone?
No, it's Mrs. Oh, no, it is Frozone.
Frozone, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's pretty incredible.
And then the...
for The Incredibles.
Right? And then they have a ladies triple pack that's coming up later.
Gosh, that was a good movie, The Incredibles.
I just watched it the other night.
Oh,
it's fantastic.
God,
so before we get terribly out of our segments, the other thing that I want to talk about the game mechanics, like merchandise and game mechanics, is that the third contender in this is Angry Birds. And Angry Birds Star Wars that comes out in September is already selling Angry Bird toys. You can buy these in the store right now. That later.
So Angry Birds is making a console game?
Nope, it's for the phone.
Wow.
So you have Angry Birds Star Wars. They're making Angry Birds Star Wars again. And then they have like different scenes.
I hope that's not what it's called.
I think so. They have different scenes from the movies. And I think it's going to lean a little closer to the new trilogy, whereas Angry Birds Star Wars, the current one, is from the original trilogy.
The new one is called The Phantom Molting.
Is it?
No.
Oh, that would be good.
I just made that up.
So you unlock, like, you buy a pack of a bunch of characters from the battle on Geonosis, and you can do, like, real Angry Bird stuff with them. They have a little slingshot, and you can pick up your little plastic Angry Bird and pew, knock down bricks. That's part of it. And then that Angry Bird has some sort of, like, QR code or something on it, and then you're playing Angry Birds on your phone or your iPad with a camera and scan that Angry Bird, and that's the one you play with in the game on that level. So unlike previous iterations of Angry Birds where you're forced to do the order that they put in for the Angry Birds, like you have to do this bird,
unless you buy that Warhawk or whatever it is.
This one you choose which Angry, and if you have the super expensive, I don't know what it'd be, Obi-Wan Kenobi or Anakin Skywalker, you scan that one and boom, you get the lightsaber move or whatever you need for that level. So clever. I think using more of the Skylander type game mechanic of choose your own character versus the add-on version of Disney Infinity. But I won't be getting that, which I also said about Disney
Skylanders
Infinity.
And Disney Infinity.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
come on.
Poor Quinn in his college.
Meanwhile, very entertained in his earlier years. How much time we got left?
25 minutes.
Oh, thank goodness.
Why? Is that bad?
Well, I just didn't want to talk forever about all that stuff. I really hope all
that
was interesting.
Do we want to go to the news feed now?
Hungry for information.
I have your information.
We are so good at segments. We are so, so good.
You have so much to talk about here in the news. I can't tell you. I'm so glad. I've been wanting to talk about that stuff for weeks. Like,
really?
I'm so stoked.
Oh, yeah. You did send me a text. I've been waiting a week.
We can talk online. Like, you can play online. So you and I could play.
We could play together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A co-op mode, and I could be Mater, and you could be McQueen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wow. Yeah. So I need to bring it. Can I bring it over on your son's birthday?
Yeah, I don't care.
Would that just, like, throw your thunder off?
No, I don't have any thunder.
Sweet.
It's his birthday. Great. I don't care. He can do whatever he wants on his birthday.
I love that plan. I just won't leave it. I'm not going to do whatever he wants.
I don't even think it needs to be said, but I'm going to say it, is that just don't be upset if there's other things that he wants to do.
Like, no, of course not.
He's going to have grandparents here and a ton of adults.
I'll come early.
Okay, fair enough.
Before his party, and we'll play for a half hour before your family shows up.
All right, sounds good. My parents will be here in the morning. We don't have to talk about
this. This is the most interesting thing on the podcast
right now. What we're doing, yeah. So let's talk about release dates. Yeah,
yeah.
So we already know. I got a random email from Amazon saying that the PlayStation 4 got bumped up to November 15th.
What was the original release date? Do you remember?
December. I think it was even after Christmas, if I remember correctly.
Well, Amazon does that thing where they know the year, but they don't have the specific release date. They will say to be released on December 31st.
Oh,
of that
okay.
year.
Then that's what it was.
So that I might have been. They may not have had an official release date. They had just said holiday season.
I just thought it was interesting because I was like, I just pre-ordered it because I'm like, well, I know I want it.
You already pre-ordered your PS4?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God bless you.
Yeah.
You know, I own stock in Sony now.
Oh.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Here's why. I talk about it like it's like I own it. So I might as well own a piece of it.
Right.
Run out and buy your PS4.
They're already sold out.
What?
That's what I found out.
I'm going to buy some more stock.
That's what I found out from the directors that they are. So what happened was I got an email saying that your item has had new updated release date of November 15th. And then within a few minutes after that, I got another email saying, we understand that there are talks of, you know, that they're sold out. Yours will be, we will ship them in order placed.
Uh-huh.
So because I bought mine back in June, May, somewhere around there.
So initial release information.
Yeah, when I found out, I just said I'll buy it. Heath called me and said,
putting it in my phone route. I'm coming over November 15th.
Heath put it in my, sent me and said, hey, you could pre-order your PS4 now on Amazon, by the way. He sent me a text. So I think I did it like within a week of that.
Nice.
So I should be good to go.
Yeah.
I think I should be fine.
That's a Friday night.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah.
So, and then when I was looking around for news, I saw this other thing that says email suggests Xbox One launching November 8th.
Oh, interesting. Trying to beat them out.
A week before. That is the Friday before the PlayStation. So I'm expecting another month that I will get another email from Amazon saying that my PlayStation 4 will be coming on November 1st.
And that you had me. I was like, wait, did you buy a 300 or whatever they are?
The two of them are going to keep going back until all of a sudden
you already have it.
My PlayStation 4 will just show up in my entertainment center.
Please stop.
But the story this is a story from Yahoo News where we get all of our news for the show. Leaked email supposedly originating from a Walmart marketing firm marks the Xbox One with a Friday, November 8th launch date. Sent to Kotaku, the email contains a list of upcoming midnight store launches, all confirmed, as well as that of the Xbox One. Should the link prove accurate, it means that Microsoft's console and media center hybrid will beat Sony PlayStation's 4 to market and not the other way around as previously thought likely. The PlayStation 4 is priced at $299 in contrast to the Xbox One's $399 and is set to launch on November 15th in North America and 29th in European, Oceanic, and Latin American regions, 31 territories in all. The Xbox One, meanwhile, is confirmed to be targeting a worldwide November launch across 13 selected territories in North America, Western Europe, Oceania, Mexico, and Brazil, with other countries to follow in 2014. That number is down from the original Phase 1 launch target of 21 countries, which with localization issues cited as the official justification, and industry whispers suggesting that manufacturing efficiencies are the underlying reason.
Yeah.
The Walmart email indicates that beating PlayStation to the punch in key strategic regions was just as big a factor. Yet, even if the email proves genuine, there is wiggle room for Washington-based tech giant Microsoft. The Xbox One date is the only one that is not listed as confirmed. The other option would be to allow the PlayStation 4 to launch first at a lower price and on the Xbox One's home turf. At a lower price and on the Xbox One's home turf, almost inconceivable. So what they're saying, that last sentence came out a little bit weird out of my mouth, but what they're saying is, so even though the release date wasn't listed as confirmed, but the only other alternative would be to go, we're going to let this cheaper box go first, and then we're going to come in at twice the money.
The problem with them being so close together, Microsoft loses either way, because with the exception of the people that want to get the new console day of, mm-hmm. which are going to be the people that have already made up their mind, right? These are the people that have made their decision.
Like me.
Yeah. Right. So you weren't swayable
no.
already. You've already cast your vote. You're yes. Republican. It's done.
Yeah.
Or Democrat, whatever you're...
whatever the
you
PlayStation
are Republican.
Is.
I want. Yeah, I didn't want to say that PlayStation's Republican.
I happen to be a Republican.
You already know.
Although what, people like voting. To tell me, people, my liberal friends like to tell me, I think you're a libertarian. That's what they say.
And you punch them in the throat.
Which is, I think, basically means that you have conservative values, but you don't care if gay people get married. Which I guess is
Which
me.
Most Republicans yeah. now anyway. Yeah. So...
Or it's a, you're a liberal who's anti-government. I think maybe that's
Ron
what they're
Swanson.
Trying to say. Yeah.
So the like battle of the timeline isn't. I don't know. I'm not an economics and a merchandising genius, but I can tell you as a consumer.
Yes, you are, Kevin.
Thank
you could
you.
Be whatever you want to be.
Thank you. Yeah. Not true. I want to rule Venus.
Done.
The secret tells
who's
me
who's going to contest you.
Fair enough. The Venetians.
Guess who just owns the southern hemisphere of Venus right now? Yours.
Oh, but I want the top, too.
Have them both.
Okay, thanks. And a sunbeam.
Might have to deal with a civil war in 100 years. But
oh man, hit stop. We got to write this screenplay. Damn it. Stuff is gold. We'll be right back.
The most ambiguous civil war on a global history is all because of some guy going, I want all of Venus.
Did I want it?
We can't even get there, sir. It's not even inhabitable, but it's mine because I claimed it.
I said I get the bottom half.
I call dibs. A global war on dibs.
You can't do that on the moon, by the way.
Tune
also,
in later for a second world war over shotgun.
Did you hear that they're going to grab an asteroid and make it a docking station to go to Mars?
Yeah, why not? What's up?
Did you already know that?
No, I had no idea.
Oh, okay. So they're going to grab a meteor, an asteroid that's hanging out and make it orbit the moon and turn it into a fueling station on the way to Mars.
I love it.
That's a great, like 10 years from now, we'll be on Mars with that.
Love it. Let's do it.
Why the moon? I don't know.
It's halfway.
No, I mean, why not have it orbit Earth, or why not just
I
make
think
the moon?
That's more dangerous, probably.
Why isn't the moon the docking station? Then I don't understand.
It's too big.
Maybe the gravity.
Yeah.
Okay, not what we're talking about. Here's my point: is that so?
No, I got to get these guys on the horn. They got a lot of holes.
These rocket scientists.
We've established
not known
I'm a
for
Republican.
Thinking of everything.
I don't mean my damn tax dollars going to some crockamamie scheme to put.
Yeah. Honestly,
rocket fuel in an asteroid.
Why Mars? Why is it so important that we get to Mars? If they have the ability to build a space station, grab an asteroid, throw it, change its orbit to be around the moon, and then build a station on it,
yeah.
Why aren't they building things on the moon that we can use?
Here's
why isn't
I got.
There a permanent lab on the moon?
I'd rather go to your new planet. Because
Venetia.
as we all know, men are from Mars.
Yeah.
Women are from Venus. Yeah. I want to go to that sausage fest over there on the red planet. It's going to smell like feet and BO constantly. I want to go to a nice lake. Sure, it'll be hot, but that means all the ladies there will be in bikinis.
It actually is covered in a constant layer of storms. There's just a constant, like...
A love storm. I'm picking up
climate
what you're putting
thing.
Down.
Okay.
Yeah. The climate is hot.
So your grandma goes to Target and is like, I'm going to buy... A game console for my grandchild.
Yes,
because it's almost Christmas.
To that. Yeah,
she is.
I
from
guess we could talk about our
Mars
format.
Stay in the newsfeed. She is
this segment brought to you. Why we don't do segments? Yeah.
Segments are for the weak.
and
for the compartmentalized.
I think the non-segments are for the weak-minded.
We
like me.
Prefer an open-ended game.
Yeah.
An open sandbox game. And you all want a regimented story. Okay, so the you want it to make sense.
Yeah.
And we want to be a Quentin Tarantino film.
Yeah, that's what we want.
That's our generation.
I'm going to start dropping N-bombs like there's no tomorrow.
And I'm going to pick those N-bombs up and turn them into flowers and hats like a good hippie.
Because it's open-ended.
As soon as...
Please don't pull my phone off the wall.
Fair enough. So here's the deal. If your grandma doesn't walk into the store between November 8th and November 14th, she's only... When that window, she's only faced with the Xbox One as an option for you. Mm-hmm. She walks in the store November 15th and on, she sees during this, like... heightened time to purchase a console, she sees two consoles sitting there. One is $400, one is $500. Now, maybe she was told that the Xbox is what you wanted. Maybe somehow that information got to you. But to the average consumer, or to, you know, it's mom and dad deciding which one to get them. They didn't do their holiday shopping. I mean, both of those are going to fall before Black Friday. So they're all going to be out.
Yep.
I don't see how it benefited them. If the Xbox could have gotten their console out like a clean month earlier.
Yes, that's what I was going to say.
6 weeks earlier.
If we were going to get it next week, then...
Then they would have... Because to get it... I mean, that's why Sly Cooper got bumped, is that they didn't release it in the holiday season because it was an overcrowded market. And instead, they put it in February, and they saw stronger sales because it was the only thing that had really come out at that time.
Does Christian prefer the Xbox to his PlayStation?
Our friend Christian, our Xbox... aficionado.
Yeah.
He used to prefer the 360. Whenever I would say, I'm thinking about getting this game, he would always say, choose the 360 because it's a stronger machine. My experience has been that the PlayStation is a much better machine. It's cleaner, it's faster, it's got a higher resolution. And
there's no Red Ring of Death.
You compare games like Red Dead Redemption to it. Loading screens are forever for things like skinning animals on the 360 because it has to jump to some other part of the disc. Never had those. Like, I'd read these reviews of people on Skyrim having hang-ups and things and locking up. I would occasionally have problems on the PlayStation playing Skyrim, but you learned how
Skyrim,
to operate it.
Yeah, that's huge.
It's another universe.
Yeah,
there's like you can play video games within that video game.
Yeah, you can. Yeah. And I think you do.
I probably am now.
Because that's what I feel like when you and I are talking. And I mean, I know clearly the real big reason why PlayStation is better is because Sly is not on the Xbox.
I think so.
But It's a better controller. It's a better...
It'll be interesting to see if the One has a more ergonomic PlayStation-ish controller. But they've been pretty hard and fast.
But I have... There's a friend that I had that Eric Olson, who I used to play Madden with him when I did that touring show. He was one of the cast members on this touring show. And he swore by his Xbox. He was like, he would never go back. He said that the PlayStation was an inferior machine and blah, blah, blah. And he was part of the reason and the price why I got the 360 to start.
Yeah.
But as soon as I got back, like now, even if the PlayStation 4 was $200 more than the Xbox One, I would still have bought a PlayStation 4.
Wow.
And not gone Xbox One.
Wow. So you're saying you would pay $700 for a PlayStation 4?
Yes.
Wow.
I mean, and if I couldn't afford it, I would have. Here's the thing. If I couldn't afford it, I would have stuck with my PlayStation 3, which I'm very happy with. But because it's only $300, I'm like, why wouldn't I do this? Just do it. Yeah, fine.
It's four.
Huh?
The PlayStation 4 is $400.
I got to cancel mine. Didn't I just read that they said that it's launching at...
$399.
$299.
Wait, what?
The PlayStation 4 is priced at $299 in contrast to the Xbox One's $399.
Wait, you must have that wrong.
Nope. It says right here on Yahoo News.
Oh, am I crazy? Did my brain?
Well, here's the thing. What I think that this is like a base model. Like when they offer a Honda Civic, they're saying it's starting at $16,000. But in actuality, when you walk out of there, you're paying $25,000 because you want air conditioning in Southern California.
I'm pretty sure that's wrong.
You think the story's wrong?
That doesn't sound right. Go to your Amazon.
Okay.
This is fun for everybody at home. You're like, oh, you guys are idiots. How do you not know the price?
Well, here's the thing.
Well, the other thing is
I either know the price or you know the price. It's not like we're both idiots.
Xbox also recently repealed the Kinect as being an integrated part of the game. You don't need I guess there are two models where you don't have to have the Kinect as part of your Xbox One.
Did I just mess it up my thing here?
Standard Amazon has the PlayStation 4 PS4 Standard Edition. It does not have a price listed on it, though.
Yeah, they don't have. So what they do on Amazon is they don't list the price, and then or they list the price of what they think it's going to be, and then if it comes out cheaper, it doesn't have a price on mine. Total $435.96.
And
I am getting the Standard Edition. So what they will do,
you just said a moment ago, is this $300?
$299 is what the article says.
So you got the Standard Edition for $399.
I have for $399, so it's $435 with tax and all that stuff. Now
is there a strip down? It's like Standard, and then there's like Base.
Yes, I think there might actually be a lesser one, but I think that what Amazon may end up doing is say they're right. I'm not saying that they're right, but say that they're right. Then what they will do is they'll send me an email saying, because they don't charge you until it ships.
Ah, yes.
So when it ships, they go, actually, it was this. And so, or what's also happened is that they've shipped it and then the game has dropped in price within like a few days. Mm-hmm. And then they give you a credit for that amount. That's happened to me on a lot of video games through Amazon.
The base, everywhere, Toys R Us.
By the way, if you're pre-ordering your PlayStation 4, go to GamerlandPodcast.com and click through our Amazon banner.
Did you do that?
I did do that.
Good for you. The PlayStation 4 on Toys R Us, $3.99. The PlayStation console with bundled things as much as $5.19 at Target and some other places. So yeah, there are a couple different levels. That comes with two controllers. At Target, it comes with two controllers and a game.
Yeah.
So your base model is the most stripped down that they've got.
Oh, okay.
I have pre-ordered Skylander Swap Force. It will come to me in October. And I actually think, and then I pre-ordered two bundled packs of other characters, and I actually think they're going to show up before the actual game will. The other thing that's interesting is that they had it releasable on the PS4 and the PS3.
So. Yeah. So that's what I was thinking about, because like I bought Madden 25.
Yeah.
So here's, and I did some poking around today, and I found out, and I know we're getting off the news feed, but
we slipped back into the sandbox.
So what they're doing is, if you bought a digital version of the game, so anybody who's buying a game in the next 3 months that is that they want to be able to play on their PlayStation 4 because they know they're going to get it, and you don't know this already, buy the digital version. You won't be able to resell it, but what it will do is that you could download it on through the network onto your PS4, and it will be playable. Mm-hmm. But the PS4 will not read the PS3 discs.
Of course not. Yeah,
that's what I found out
recently.
Which is
a giant shame. Because I have a very, I thought, my initial thought was the same thing of like, oh, well, I'd love to have the be able to play these games. And then I realized I don't have to throw it away. Mm-hmm. In fact, the PS3 will continue to have free internet, whereas the PS4, you must pay to be connected to the internet now. PlayStation Plus, you have to be on PlayStation Plus in order to connect to the internet and use things like Netflix, just like the Xbox. The PlayStation 3 will not require that, so that will continue to be my Netflix playing device and my library of PS3 game playing device. Unless I sell all my Sony stock and buy...
I'm going
PS4.
Back to Xbox One now. I didn't know they were going to charge me to play online.
So does Xbox One, though.
Huh?
Xbox One already pays. You have to pay to play online.
It's the principle, Kevin. It's the principle.
Their point in the article that I read said that they felt that they could, to make it free, would have downplayed the quality so much that it would have frustrated players. They figured it was better to charge the players.
That's what Xbox's whole point
and
was.
Give them a better quality.
That's what they
were. Which I don't agree with, because I don't see, well, comparing Xbox to PlayStation, I don't see what the difference is in terms of quality. Yeah. Now, that could be...
That's what Xbox's downfall to me is that you're charging, but there's downtimes. You know what I mean? Like, maybe comparatively, they're not. And I'm sure there's an Xbox lover who's like, you son of a... And is yelling at their iPod on their treadmill or whatever. Probably
and,
not running.
And what remains to see that if the... Like, that's what I wanted to see is with the PlayStation 4, what will be the improved quality of the internet connection with other people for a paid price. Because now, if you're making me pay for it, it better be damn smooth.
I think it's just a changing of the guard. That's what I think is happening. I think that they're saying, we have to make a buck off of this to make it worthwhile.
Which is where PlayStation Plus came from. Yeah. Like, well, how do we get people to pay us to do this?
And I'll end up doing it, and it's fine.
You'll survive.
Yeah.
And my stock will go up.
Yeah. You're welcome.
We should go into the inbox. Oh, no, we have to go behind the controller.
We have about 5 minutes left, or less than that. So do you want to pick one and then bump the other one back to next week?
Let's go to the inbox. We have lots of things. Is that interesting for behind the controller? I have a topic that I think is interesting that relates to the sort of open-ended gaming.
Let's do it. Let's do that because we have emails. We could do – there's only like three emails
bunch of
that we're going to do. Yeah,
okay.
So it's fine.
So – Two Souls. Are you familiar with this game?
Nope.
It's called Beyond Two Souls. It stars Ellen Page, digitally animated. We reviewed it slightly when they released it back at E3. I can't remember what year it was. And the thing that's so interesting about it is they made a really big deal about casting Ellen Page in this. Just like Last of Us, it's all about getting named, known actors to be these in stop motion capture games.
Which, as a wannabe voice actor, I hate.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
It's pretty obnoxious. The thing about Ellen Page, brilliant actor. This, make sure you mark this. What I'm about to say is not a slight to Ellen Page. I'm a huge fan of her work. But they cast this woman, and she's good for the role, probably, not having played the game. From what I can tell of the content of the game, it makes a lot of sense. But the genius that is in Ellen Page as an actress is that she is able to shut down in a way that you can see her brain working behind her eyes. She doesn't look vacant when she stops moving. You can see things happening inside of her mind in this sort of like lost thing that she does. It's brilliant. That does not translate to a digital medium where her face is being digitized, because the computer is the what's so brilliant about it.
It's getting facial tics.
Exactly.
Not,
she can hold
not
her
a
face.
Soul.
Yeah, she can hold her face still, and you go, "Oh my gosh, that is there's she's doing so much with nothing." The computer's natural resting state is nothing. So when you translate somebody that is really great at holding still and communicating so much with that, the medium, the digital medium, does not transfer that information over. Not having played the game, I could be wrong. The scenes I've seen, I'm like, you've wasted a great actress on this medium that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, because I feel like she doesn't use her face, but she uses her head to gesture. And maybe that's something they can't pick up, is like how it's
maybe it'll
its
come
axis
across
or something. I don't know.
The scenes I've seen, she's just sitting behind a table, like shocked to hell from something that's happened, and it just looks like I'm like I could have designed that by drawing you a picture.
Yeah,
you could have put that in your game. I could be wrong. Not having played the game. The game totes a lot of big principles. They're dealing with the afterlife. There's some sort of Ellen Page walks around with some sort of ghost or other entity that does things with you. They just released that you can play as that entity, but only through a mobile app. You won't actually play as the character. So if we tag team, I think the idea is that you can play with me on your mobile app on the other side of the country. I'm not sure how it's going to breakdown. And they made some big point. It's the same guys that made Heavy Rain. So their whole point is we're doing something different here. Mm-hmm. We're going to tell a story,
which I appreciate.
It's about afterlife.
Heavy Rain was an amazing game, but it was fun and it was interesting. You know what I mean?
Like, absolutely.
Wasn't a game changer, but
so they're over at Quantum Dream, and their CEO David Cage had this article, an interview on Game of Suture, which is where I get all of my gaming news. And he had this article recently about Game Over and how his point is that in terms of developing a game, the game over screen is a failure, not for the player, but for the game designer. Meaning that if your player fails at it, then you've failed to make the game interesting and move forward, where as opposed to the player being able to succeed. He does say in an action game, I'm quoting him, "I get it, why not? It's all about skill, but in a story-driven game experience, in my experience, it doesn't make any sense." And what he goes on to describe is that the game over scenario within a game, it's like creating an artificial loop.
Oh. I finally figured out what that was. I'm sorry, that's our show. Sorry, we have to... To wrap it up.
That was like an episode of Lost right there. What was that?
That was something that was not supposed to happen. That was not supposed to happen.
All right. Was that an alarm? Is that letting us know that we're done?
Yeah, but I was supposed to. It's not supposed to do that. I didn't want any sounds.
Yeah.
I didn't do that before the last time, but maybe I did something different. I'm sorry.
All right. So he's saying if you didn't. So by creating an artificial loop, the artificial loop is saying you didn't play the game the way I wanted you to play, so now you're punished, and you're going to have to come back and play it again until you do what I wanted you to do.
Mm.
And where's the cool part? So the idea is that he says in this article here, the player will either be able to escape. So there's one part of the game where the player will either be able to escape from an enemy on a train or will be caught by them and have to deal with the alternative story path in which they are caught.
Idea, that would be so frustrating, though.
Yeah. So the idea expands on story elements that the Cage has explored in previous games, including Heavy Rain. So why do you think that it's frustrating?
Well, here's the thing. My first thought was that would be frustrating because I want to play the game.
Well,
you know what I mean? Like, but that, I think I'm coming from the mindset of like what we just what he just mentioned, whereas it, what he's doing creates a much better experience than following down their path.
And see, this is the thing that
As long as I can, it creates replay value and all that stuff. But it's always that weird thing. There's these weird elements that I think have always existed in games where you feel like, and it's not on purpose because we've talked to developers, but you feel like you've painted me into a corner here. Like, no matter, like there's moments in God of War where you start fighting, you fight, and you're like, I'm kicking the crap out of this thing. Why is it not dying? Only to find out that when you die, that's what kickstarts the next part of the story.
Yeah.
And so there's all these elements of that that frustrate me when I don't know. So I don't know what that says about me psychologically.
No, I didn't. Well, the problem is that what you're describing is a linear-based storyline.
Yeah.
And here's the problem is that I read that article and I go, no. Duh. Mm-hmm. Why is this even news? And the only reason it's news is because nobody's been doing it yet. Because if you play any sort of game, or you play a lot of games, you know that most games are built on a linear structure. Mm-hmm. I've talked about it a lot, even on a game that touts being able to choose your own adventure.
Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, or like Infamous. It has a story. And maybe you get to choose which scene you play, but the elements roll next into each other. Why do we have that? Because we've adopted, when games started to have stories in them, they took them from movies, which are a linear script that you go through, and you unlock levels. It's easier to develop because you only have to develop one thing. If you can't get to that thing, you have to go back and try again until you get to that part in the story.
But don't you feel like this is just the same of that, but it's a different way of playing, portraying
depends it? It depends on how they unravel it. Because here, look at the examples that don't do that. Skyrim, all the stupid toy box games that I just described within Disney Infinity. Guild Wars kind of gets away with this. I mean, Skyrim is probably the best example, or any of those sort of games, where the stories are out there. I'll never forget in the game of Skyrim where I was running away from being attacked by a bunch of arrows, and a ghost on a horse just passed in front of me. I was like, those damn fools are such geniuses. That is a story. I didn't have time to deal with it, and it created a... They talk about it all the time, like, create your own personal story. Mm-hmm. But it really created a personal story that I had to make the choice. Is that the first chapter of some other storyline where he was going to ask me to fight for people that he can no longer fight, or find out who this ghost is and chase him down? Or do I keep moving on because I can't deal with it? And I play the game. I still have no idea what that ghost was doing. It was this one time.
You didn't just do a YouTube search?
Have you? Do you know what it is?
No.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm talking about. The game is so deep. I'm sure I could.
Yeah.
But I enjoy that element of the game.
Oh, no, yeah, I would. You're right.
That precious, like, truly, I made a choice within the story. And so, to this, like, in reality, which is what a game has the potential of being, is it's not a movie where you're forced to watch what's happening inside a picture box or this frame, and it's been determined linearly because it's sitting in a can and it's been shot and determined. You get to decide the angle and direction and how long you stay in one room. Everything up until this point has been kind of artificial. You choose what to do, but really you're just choosing when to ratchet the story forward at your own pace to move things along. In reality, you made the decision to buy a house. You made the decision to marry your wife. You made the decision to walk outside. You're making the decision to sit here and do a podcast. And you have the option of right now walking next door and knocking on your neighbor's door and punching him in the face and seeing where that story goes. Mm-hmm. And that is the future of games. What he's describing is like this mind-blowing new idea of letting stories kind of unravel naturally is what games will be in a very short amount of time.
Game over. I'm mostly messing with you. I agree.
I was like, oh, he has no reaction.
No, I agree.
This is the first time he's ever wanted to finish the show on time.
No. I agree that I am skeptical of it because I feel that they keep dressing up the same old chick. You see what I'm saying? Like, they're buying a dress for, like, 20 years from now, our kids aren't going to look at Julia Roberts and go, man, that's awesome. I'd like to get me a slice of that. You see what I'm saying? Like,
did anybody ever say that?
Fair enough. Horrible analogy.
She's great. I didn't. It's not like you said Cindy Crawford. That would be an example of like she was super hot.
No, because she's still hot 20 years later. That's the problem.
Her 20 years then.
And 20 years from now, I think she's still going to look the same. So here's my point, though, is that I think that they say these kinds of things, like just like Grand Theft Auto was this revolutionary thing. And then you kind of find out that there is a small piece that is different. But there is still, like, you could, if you move aside the dust and the grass and all that stuff, you go, oh, yeah, there's the roots. I see it.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
So I still feel like all they're going to really be able to do is to say there are elements, just like in Infamous, there are plot points that if you fail, it's going to put, as opposed to in Infamous, if you fight a boss and you lose, because here's what I think they're going to end up doing. So say let's use Infamous as an example, mm-hmm. as a narrative. So there's the huge, you know, Neutron guy who's walking through and we're trying to get all the stuff in order before he gets to this new New Orleans I'm on Infamous too. But so we're trying to get to
the Beast.
Yeah. So the Beast is on his way and we got to get our crap together so that when the Beast arrives we can fight him. So the Beast arrives, we fight him and we lose.
Yeah.
So in a sense, so then what happens? He just starts destroying, like he's in the process of destroying the city, and then we got to try and rally. You know what I mean? Like
rally
the troops. Like there to create a sense of urgency. There is a sense of also ultimatum that mm-hmm. happens within these narratives, and that if you lose on say a boss battle, then the ramifications of that. Well, then you're dead, and then they take over the world, and what are you going to do now? So I think what his example is, that's
the reality of the story. See, that's the thing, is that we're so trained to have this typical story
climax.
But then that's
game over.
But that's not game over if that's the end of the story. So say, instead, imagine it like this, that it spokes on a wheel, and you start in the center, and you move outwards towards the end, and the outer part of the wheel is the end of the, that's the end of the story. No matter what, you're going to get there. The story only lasts for 24 hours, and what you do for the next 24 hours doesn't matter. You're going to see that for 24 hours. If your character falls and breaks its leg, that's what happens for the next 10 hours, and we skip forward, and then that's the end of the story.
Mm-hmm.
You can replay it again, but that's not the same thing as game over, in which you're getting to a chapter, and they're saying, no, you didn't shoot the thing in the face at the right time when it opened its eyes, Batman. You have to start over. And you have to replay that same cut scene again with the same way. That's not the same thing as a game over. That's just a story unraveling differently with the ability to retell that story.
And I'm sorry, just so I could go back, because this guy is the guy who developed Two Souls. That's why everybody's making this hullabaloo. Because the other thing, and
he's,
I think we talked about it, is that I did some more looking around after watching Watch Dogs at Comic-Con. I've seen some trailers and everything and some people talking about it. And what's interesting is that they're saying that same thing, and that this game has no narrative.
Which game?
The Watch Dogs game.
Oh, interesting.
So you are in a world. He goes, it's truly an open sandbox, which I know that word has been, I think, the phrase has been overused.
It's a good segment, though.
His point is that you wander through this world, and you find people that are good and bad, but you hack into all of their history. So you can look at somebody, and it'll say, like, known sex offender, or, you know, like, literally, it'll say something like that, or stole some money from his office, or this person is a good citizen, and blah, blah, blah. Or I think one of the examples, too, that said high level of possible victim. Like, there was a lady walking, and so in this trailer, like, he followed her, and then sure enough, around the corner, she gets mugged, and then he stops the mugging. But the chick runs away, and you never see her again. He chases this guy, guns him down, kills this mugger, and so then the cops are called in because there's like gunplay happening in the streets of New York, and then he's got to escape the cops, and you have access to everything. So you bring up these pillars from the ground as the cop cars are trying to come in, and the cop car just slams into it because it didn't know it was coming. And so you run out, and then there's this point where you could change the traffic lights to make traffic.
What game is this?
Watchdog. I know, it's incredible. And then the other thing is, so to get away from the cops, he climbs up the hill. They're like, and you hear the cops, he's up there. So you stop a subway train that's coming near you, jump on it, and then make it go again. And that's how you get away from the cops. And so
is this on PS4?
Uh-huh.
I need to get one of those.
So their whole point is, you could sell that Infinity thing. Their whole point is that there is no narrative. Like, you're going through, and there's a ton of, like, mini missions. but no ultimate like boss battle or anything like that. It's all just these little.
That sounds like Skyrim then.
Yeah,
that's that with yeah, with Skyrim, some smaller narrative arcs.
But with narrative, yeah, it's a Skyrim set in New York now, and you walk around in a sports coat and a hoodie. And it's everything is done through your cell phone.
And see, what I'm suggesting is that there's a way to marry these two things, that you can take that kind of open world thing and still finesse an ultimate storyline with three act structure within it.
Yeah, I would have to do it to try it, but the more and more I'm thinking about it, there's a part of me that goes, you know, I would kind of like to just see what happened. Like, I would like that idea, like, if I fail at something, just or whatever choice I make. Because mm-hmm. I like making the good choices in Mass Effect, and I fantasize about being a bad guy, but I don't think I would enjoy it as much.
In his example, in Two Souls, I mean, don't you find both of those interesting choices, to go back to our improvisational roots?
Yes.
That the choice of escaping from a train and then doing whatever you need to do once you're out of the law is just as interesting a choice as having to be detained by these people and escape from them.
Yes.
Both of those, or whatever. Or
like, now you got to figure out how you got to get out of jail.
Or meet new people in jail. I mean, there's always another story within that. So that's what I find interesting is that
I don't know anything about developing games, but what it makes me think of is like, well, how can they possibly create that? But what they could do is they could have stories in a hopper, and when a consequence happens, then you kind of stumble into this story.
Some modular, yeah.
So it's still, as opposed to it being a linear like movie. So in a sense, what we would be playing is like a screenplay. They write a 4-hour movie, and they shoot a 4-hour movie, and then they edit it down to a 2-hour movie, right?
Exactly.
So in this case, what they're doing is they're taking all 4 hours, because in a video game they can, and you have scenes that would end up on the cutting room floor are just there, and if a consequence happens, then you just find yourself in that scene.
Except for exponentially, because you would have to assume that because you made one choice, later that other choice is not an option anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've made the choice to escape from the train, or were able to escape from the train, you no longer will experience what happens. So that
when you get caught.
The thing. So instead of your example of half of the game not being accessible to you, it could be as much as a 16th of the game is only the thing you experience.
And then the Toys for Bob thing would be that you would have to sell a YouTube subscribership for people to be able to see all of the options that they missed.
Oh, and that's what PS4 is doing.
That's what they would do.
They'd be little things that you can play with and then put them on top of it.
No.
Also, my last thing about Skylanders before we go away. My prediction, we're in predictions, is that Skylanders 4 or 5 will be build your own Skylander and it will be mailed to your house.
What? Wow.
Right? That just makes sense.
Yeah.
Because I think Skylanders 4 will be, instead of just tops and bottoms, it'll be arms, legs, heads. And then after that,
knees
it will
and
be.
Toes.
Yeah.
Throw a shoulder in there.
You'll design your own character online with its own power, set of powers, and they'll mail it to your home.
Wow.
That's
or
the
they do like those new action figures for the Iron Man, and you can assemble them. They just sell pieces.
Yeah.
And you can assemble it yourself.
Oh, that's probably what I think the next one will be.
Yeah.
But I think eventually the cool thing will be able to. We're about 3 or 4 generations because 3D printing is super easy.
Yeah.
It's coming.
Wow. Good times. All right, that was our show. Send us an email to show@gamerlandpodcast.com, or you can also send us questions to questions@gamerlandpodcast.com. You can find us on Facebook. Join the conversation, facebook.com/gamerlandpodcast. That is a great opportunity for you to be able to interact with Kevin, and or you can follow the show on Twitter @gamerlandpod. And what else? Oh, don't forget to go to facebook.com/IWantSlyCooper in his own animated series. We are trying to Betty White this bitch and get that thing on television. On behalf of my good friend, oh, really he's my new friend, Kevin Miller, this is John Swartz from saying,
okay, bye.